Therapist Connect podcast is sponsored by ISOS Connect. Modernize your private practice without tech overwhelm. Create and store client records and notes. Schedule video sessions with automated confirmations and reminders. Send invoices and more. All in one secure, affordable, and easy to use place. Visit www.isosconnect.com and use code TC30 for 1 month free on any paid plan.
Welcome to the Therapist Connect podcast, a podcast for therapists by therapists.
Hello, my name is Dr. Peter Blundell, and you're listening to the Therapist Connect podcast. Today I'm interviewing one of the Therapist Connect volunteers, Maxine Walsh. Maxine has been a counsellor and psychotherapist for over 11 years, with over 4 years' experience in private practice. She's born and raised in a large Dublin family, and currently works in Dublin Southwest. After leaving school, she went on to study information technology, which led to a 15-year career in IT, supporting several multinational corporations, which gave her the chance to travel extensively around Europe. She then returned to college as a mature student to follow her dream of running her own business as a mental health professional. And she has been accredited with the Irish Association of Counsellors and Psychotherapists since 2019. If you enjoy listening to this Therapist Connect podcast episode, please go to your favourite podcast platform and leave us a review. Hi, Maxine. Thanks so much for coming on the Therapist Connect podcast. It's lovely to have you here and to have a little bit of a chat and get to know you a little bit better.
Hi, Peter. Great to be here and great to get to know you a little bit too.
Fab. So I'll just dive straight into our questions then, which is the question that I ask everybody who's come on the podcast, which is, can you tell the listeners a little bit how you became to be a therapist in the first place? What drew you to therapy as a profession?
Well, I was in my mid-20s. I think it was, they call it a quarter-life crisis now. So I was working in IT and information technology, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I think I went into it because it was everybody said, oh, you can make money in this. It's going to be the big new thing. And it was. But I really didn't like it. And I went through a relationship breakup, and it was really tough. I mean, I had never been interested in mental health or anything like that before. So I had some counselling myself. I'd imagine probably every counsellor says, but yeah, I had some counselling myself, and it was amazing. And I learned so much. And one of the things we were talking about my job and how much I didn't like it. And the counsellor kind of put it out there about volunteering. And I heard an ad, they were looking for volunteers for a crisis line. And in here in Dublin, so I volunteered for that. I went through that, the training. It was in the Dublin Red Crisis Centre, and we went for 2 weeks training. It was absolutely amazing. I loved it. And then I did that for a few months, and after doing that for a few months, I decided, no, I actually would love to look into making a career out of this. So I went back to college.
Fantastic. So it's interesting. It's like personal experience of therapy, but then also by doing that volunteering and getting a bit of a sense maybe of what it was like, kind of led you down that path. And I suspect IT and therapy, quite different professions then.
Very different. Yeah. Very different. I mean, you know, I still have some friends. I mean, one of my best friends from my career in IT, so it wasn't all bad, but it was just the whole time I was there, it was, and I had two different jobs. I worked for 5 years in one place, and I worked for, I think, 7 years in one place. So it wasn't a short career. But the whole time it was just that kind of the old thing of like square peg, round hole. It just didn't suit me, you know? And it was only until I actually started to go and explore my own mental health and myself that I realized, no, this is not for me. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Before I did my psychology degree, I was working in
a bank and loans and mortgages and all those kind of things. And I loved the people I worked with, but I absolutely did not enjoy the job at all. So I can totally relate to feeling like a square peg in a round hole. So you went to train and you qualified. And then can you tell us a little bit about your career so far then, since you've become a therapist?
Well, I suppose before I started my career, so as in my final year of college, I had a surprise baby. and so that kind of, that sort of put things on hold a little bit then. Well, I actually got a job in an EAP in my final year. So a very good college friend gave me the heads up about a brilliant job. And so I was really happy in that job. And then I had my little boy in 2010. So that was too long ago now. It feels like it was only about 3 years ago, but it was, he's 13 this year. And he was sick when he was born. Well, shortly after he was born, he was diagnosed with a serious illness. So the whole idea of becoming a counsellor, I always wanted to become a counsellor and I always wanted to work in private practice. But that was put on hold then for a few years looking after him. He was sick. And, you know, the experience of that was another layer to my experience as well, was becoming the parent of a child with a disability. And I did work for some charities for a few years while I was working towards my accreditation, and I really enjoyed that. And then it was time. It was time for me to work for myself just before the COVID pandemic.
I mean, so you had quite a lot to juggle in your life anyway, and then and then you decided to go into private practice, then the pandemic hit. How did you set up and start then, just as the pandemic was starting?
It was interesting, because I had already been making my plans to do this before the pandemic hit. I think it was April 2020 when the room where I do my counselling was finished and ready to go. April 2020, lockdown. we were told, you know, in the news and by the accrediting body that we couldn't work in person. So I was straight into online. And then a few months, I think around May or June 2020, we were told, no, you're an essential worker. Do you remember that term? Essential worker. And I was able to have people in the cabin that I work in. But it's been, I have to say, it's been easy, a lot easier than I thought it would be.
Fantastic. I mean, that's great that you still managed to set up. And I just imagine how many therapists were in that position, either just setting up in private practice or they were already in private practice and had rooms that they were renting and all of those kind of things. And then obviously the pandemic hits and everybody's got to kind of change and shift the way that they're working. But I'm really glad that you were able to still make a success of that and make it work for you. What happens now? Do you work in person and online, or do you do a little bit of both, or?
A little bit of both, mostly in person. I find that there's definitely more people than there used to be looking for online therapy. But I do a bit of both. Sometimes I find that somebody might have a couple of sessions, maybe, you know, face to face, and we're getting to know each other. And I think that's a great idea, actually, just to have those couple of sessions face to face. And then, you know, for whatever reason, because of distance or because of life circumstances, they'll change to online. Online doesn't suit everybody, you know. I notice sometimes people, if they have a very full house or lots of noise in the house or things like that, that they'd prefer face to face, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't suit everybody. Did you train in a particular modality, and like, how would you describe your therapeutic approach now?
So when I went to study, it was just it was a degree. It was a Bachelor of Science in Counseling and Psychotherapy. It's all changed now. There's QQI levels. I don't know what it's like in the UK, but there's like different levels. So it was just it was a very kind of well-rounded course where there wasn't a particular type. So at the end of it, what you come out as, I suppose, is an integrative psychotherapist, which is what I would say I am now, an integrative psychotherapist. I've worked and studied, you know, a few different modalities, and I suppose chosen a couple that I find suit me.
And do you have any kind of like specialisms in your client base in the terms of what kind of things that you work with?
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Though the special thing, the special, because I think when you're a student, you have these ideas about what you'd like to do, and then somehow or another, when you start to work, it's almost like your clients lead you into. I don't know if it was the same for you.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah. Definitely, that's what's happened to me. So I always had an interest in trauma, and that was where I wanted to go. And definitely, yes, I still have an interest in trauma. I've studied trauma. I've done workshops on trauma. I mean, that it probably comes in the door with every client anyway, in some way, shape or form. But I suppose I would say that what I specialize in would be anxiety and self-esteem.
And so people reach out to you for those specific issues?
Yes. Yeah. And lots of different issues too. Lots of other issues too. But they would be the two main ones, yeah. The
main ones, yeah. So just changing the topic slightly, and for those who don't know, Maxine's also a volunteer on the Therapist Connect Twitter account, or X as we should probably call it now. Twitter no longer exists. on Mondays. So this question I've usually asked to all the other guests as well, but you might have a particular perspective because of that volunteering role that you do. But I was wondering how you see the wider therapy community and how connected do you feel to kind of other therapists?
Well, it's all very new, isn't it? Relatively new, isn't it? I think one of the reasons why I was drawn to it is because private practice is very lonely, especially coming from a background where I was working for big corporations and there was always people around and always people to bounce things off and get feedback from. So without that community, and it's fantastic that it's a global community, and it is one good thing about the internet. I know there's a lot of criticism about the internet, and rightly so, but it is one great thing about the internet is that how it can bring people together, and it is a place where people can get support and feedback where they otherwise wouldn't have been able to. It is quite a lonely profession, I think.
Yeah, I know, I completely agree with that. And I think obviously we set up in the pandemic and there was a lot of people who were even more isolated. But I think as people have returned to more in-person working and things like that, I think there's still a lot of professionals who are feeling isolated and on their own. And if you're in private practice, you might not see any other therapists at all, you know, so the people need communities to support them in that.
Yeah, 100%. Because even, you know, people that I would have went to college with and maybe people that I worked with, private practice as well. And even if you're working for an organization, you're so busy. It's so busy, and the hours can be antisocial too. It's not a 9-to-5 job. So all those things, I think, can lead to that isolation.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think then is the biggest challenge that the counselling and psychotherapy professions faces right now?
I think, again, as it's a relatively new profession, in that it kind of used to be doctors, didn't it? And psychiatrists and psychologists who were looking after mental health. I think regulation is a huge challenge. I know that in the UK, that's kind of in the process of happening. It feels like in Ireland, they're waiting to see what happens in the, that's my opinion only. It feels like they're waiting to see what's going to happen in the UK. But I think it's really important that we get the regulation piece absolutely correct. And then the other challenge is social media, that we do that right too.
Absolutely. And I think particularly, the regulatory side of things, it's so controversial over here in the UK. I'm sure you will have seen on the Twitter account all the different discussions and things that are kind of happening over that.
Yeah.
And then on social media, I agree in terms of, I mean, social media is relatively new as well. And so we've got counselling and psychotherapy, relatively new profession, and then social media combined. And we don't really know how we're navigating both of those things together at the moment. It's still, everybody's still learning, I think. But it's interesting to hear that you think that kind of Ireland's waiting to kind of see what happens here in the UK before they take any steps, which kind of makes sense, I suppose, when something's kind of being worked through in one area, it kind of makes sense for people to kind of say, okay, well, let's see what happens there before we delve in.
Yeah, it's just my observation.
Yeah.
I know that the it's called SCOPED, right?
Yeah.
Scoped.
One of those three. You hear people use all those phrases. So.
In the UK, and here it's where what's they're trying to get counselling and psychotherapy to be protected labels under the CORU registration. It's called CORU registration, and it seems to be facing the same challenges as far as I can see. And I think, by the way, that a big part of it is that a lot of the people in charge of, protecting the profession and, and making these regulations only have a very limited idea of what counselling and psychotherapy is.
I think that's my concern is, are we putting everything in too much of a rigid box, and not actually valuing everything that so many of us do within the profession? I think that's spot on. So we're coming to the end of the questions now. I'd love chatting to you, but have you got, what are your future plans, or is there anything else that you'd like our listeners to hear about before we come to an end?
Before I started to train as a psychotherapist, what my dream was, what I really wanted to do was, so I grew up in Dublin in sort of a very working class, background family, five kids. My dad was a bread man. And noticed growing up, and what I noticed as I started to train to become a psychotherapist, is that there's a problem with self-esteem. I don't know if it's worldwide, but definitely in Ireland there's a problem. There's a lack of self-awareness. There's a lot of people who've been brought up to believe that they are never to be the priority in their own lives. And so what I always wanted to do was to bring psychotherapy and counselling to people who wouldn't have access to it or wouldn't think of accessing to it, of having access to it. So at the moment, I'm doing a workshop, a self-esteem workshop. It's very simple. It's, CBT, mindfulness techniques. But I'm trying to make it as affordable as possible as a kind of a way into counselling and psychotherapy, maybe for people who are intimidated by it or don't don't know what it is, or feel like they would like to try it but don't know where to go and or can't afford it. That's where I'd like to be next.
I mean, I think that's so important. And I think it's really difficult, isn't it? I think therapists in private practice, they feel like they need to charge a certain amount to kind of make money and make a business, but that can often make it very, very unaffordable for a lot of people. And I think, you know, such a wonderful thing to try and make it more accessible and offer stuff that's affordable for people so that everybody has access to that knowledge and understanding that we've got as counsellors and psychotherapists. So I think that's fantastic. Is that an online workshop or are you doing it in person? Or
I'm trying it out in person first. Mm-hmm. But absolutely. I mean, here we are recording a podcast. You're in, are you in London?
I'm in Liverpool.
You're in Liverpool. Are you only? You're only
we could wave to each other.
I'm in Dublin, you're in Liverpool. Here we are, we're doing a podcast. So absolutely, I'd love to do it online. I'm just not, for somebody who worked in IT, I'm a little bit intimidated by technology. But I will it's definitely something I'd like to do, yeah.
Well, I mean, you've been a natural on this podcast and all the technology has gone absolutely fine. It usually goes wrong for me.
You've made it easy. It's a link.
Oh, Maxine, I could talk to you all morning, but it's been absolutely wonderful just to get to know you a little bit better. And thank you for all of your hard work on the Therapist Connect account, because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't run itself. And it's so nice to have someone with such uplifting energy on there every Monday. So thank you.
It's great fun. It's great fun. That's what I would say to anybody who's thinking of doing something like this. It's great fun, and it's brilliant getting to know lots of different people from all over the world. It's fantastic.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much and good luck for the future.
You too, Peter. Thank you.
Therapist Connect podcast is sponsored by ISOS Connect. Modernize your private practice without tech overwhelm. Create and store client records and notes. Schedule video sessions with automated confirmations and reminders. Send invoices and more. All in one secure, affordable and easy to use place. Visit www.isosconnect.com and use code TC30 for 1 month free on any paid plan.
Thank you for listening to the Therapist Connect podcast. Go to www.therapist-connect.com for more discussions and debates.